Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the Great Lakes Basin. For today's month in review, we're focusing on the Detroit water shutoffs and the latest legal news on the Asian carp front. Gary Wilson, welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. And that was quite a discussion you guys had going there.
Well, education in Michigan, not just Michigan, but education all over the country is there's dozens of different conversations going on at the same time that are all really important. And certainly the charter school landscape here in Michigan is just one of them. So.
I think your closing remark there was serve as a good lead-in, talking about continuing the dialogue, and I'll get to that in a few minutes.
Okay. We have our own continuing dialogues to talk about.
Yeah.
The Detroit water shutoff story has been getting national, even international, attention. Bring us up to speed on what is happening there.
Sure, Mark. I think the facts are pretty well known. As you mentioned, it's been getting a lot of media exposure, national, international attention, and that is the fact that Detroit, over the years, the city of Detroit has allowed people, sort of on a de facto basis, to not pay their bills, and many people are not financially able to pay their bills. There's a small group that just don't pay them because they've been able to get away with it. And this also includes some corporations who are delinquent. It's just not citizens. But as Detroit's preparing to emerge from bankruptcy, they need to get their financial house in order. So they've launched an aggressive program to discontinue service for people who are delinquent a certain amount of months and a certain dollar amounts. And this is water. This isn't, your cell phone service or some other peripheral thing. This is water that's needed for, basic sanitation and for drinking. Water sustains life. So that garners people's attention, and especially in a city like Detroit, which is so economically disadvantaged right now, and these are mostly poor people, and that gets a spotlight put on it.
People might not see this as an environmental story, though, so much as an economic story. How is it you see it as an environmental issue?
Well, I think, Mark, that it's at the nexus, the juncture of where the environment, water, meets the social issues and meets the economic issues. None of these stand alone. We talk a lot in the environmental communities about water being related to the economy, and how right now in Michigan and other places, a blue economy where, water can be used as an asset to help to sustain economies. And I think what we're seeing here in Detroit is the merging of social issues related to water. Water issues don't stop at the shoreline; they go both ways. Detroit is smack dab in the middle of the Great Lakes region. Michigan is the Great Lakes state. Michigan's always going to have a spotlight on it when it comes to water, how it's managed. And now the social issues here have definitely crept into the conversation. And I think there needs to be a broader conversation. And I reached out this past week to a number of the organizations mostly located in Michigan to get their thoughts on this, environmental organizations, and the responses were interesting.
Tell us more about that. What kind are environmental organizations weighing in on this thing? What did you hear?
Well, they're very cautious. Environmental organizations. First of all, the Sierra Club, the Michigan State chapter of the Sierra Club, has been involved on a local basis for a number of years. So good for them. They've been working in the community, helping people. It hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, but the Sierra Club has been active for quite some time. Other Great Lakes environmental organizations have not been involved, at least not so it's been visible. So I reached out to the Alliance for the Great Lakes here in Chicago, and they do Great Lakes advocacy work. They really stepped back. They didn't want anything to do with the Detroit water issue. They say that their mission is focused on just the ecological restoration of the Great Lakes and other bodies of water, and they sort of see it stopping right at the shoreline. National Wildlife Federation, however, the Great Lakes office located in Ann Arbor, I had a conversation there with Jordan Lebetkin. He's their senior media guy. And he sent what I thought was a very interesting and powerful statement. They see water as a human right. They do see the need to engage water as a social issue. They think that the government needs to work to protect the water rights at all levels, and they recognize the inequities, and they hope that Detroit can find a resolution that gives the citizens access to water. Now, that's all high-level stuff, and when the rubber meets the road, is how do you do all that? But I thought that that statement was excellent, a good place to start a discussion that needs to take place in the region.
We're talking with Gary Wilson on our Great Lakes Month in Review segment here on WKAR's Current State. July also saw another ruling in the Asian carp court saga. Tell us about that.
Yes, Mark. Michigan and Michigan and four other states, but Michigan is the lead state in the suit against the Army Corps of Engineers in Chicago's Water District, trying to get the courts to take some action to on the advance of Asian carp. And this suit, in some form, has been going on for at least 3 or 4 years. But an appeals court just a couple of weeks ago dismissed Michigan's case, and they said that Michigan had failed to offer facts that the defendants, the Army Corps and Chicago's Water District, were operating waterways in a manner that would allow Asian carp to get into the lake. The court did say that Michigan could revisit the issue if they could present a new set of facts, but this is another legal defeat for Michigan and the other states, and right now their options are not good.
Candidly, Gary, is there really anything meaningful that can happen at this point on the carp question? I mean, even if a total separation of the Great Lakes from the waterways that carry the carp were green-lighted tomorrow, it would take decades to build, would it not?
You're talking the biggest solution is in that 15 to 20-year range. Shorter solutions are in the 3 to 5-year range, and many people think even those would not be enough. So right now there are just no really good options. But if you listen to what the court said, they've said that what the Army Corps of Engineers is doing now with the barriers and fish kills and other things is working. That's where we are, and I don't know where this is going to go, and I certainly don't think it's going to go anyplace quickly.
This week, there was another development in the increasing scrutiny of the Enbridge oil pipeline up at the Mackinac Straits. Attorney General Bill Schuette says that the pipeline does not comply with state regulations and needs to have additional anchors installed to support it. What does this mean?
Well, I think Michigan has been under a tremendous amount of pressure, including Governor Snyder, from a number of groups, but primarily environmental groups, have really taken up the cause of getting scrutiny on this pipeline, this Enbridge pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. And, in Michigan, Enbridge rings a bell because of the Kalamazoo spill a few years ago. So the governor has asked the AG, the Attorney General Bill Schuette, to get involved, and also directed that Dan Wyant, the head of Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality, engage with Enbridge. And they did. They sent off a letter to Enbridge and asked him about these additional supports that may be needed. Enbridge has agreed to put those additional supports in, but that's not going to satisfy people, especially environmental groups, and back to the National Wildlife Federation, the Great Lakes Office. They want a full inspection, and they want to see a plan to replace the 60-year-old pipeline. So I think this is a first step. And Schuette and Wyant have both said that this isn't the end of their inquiries with Enbridge. So, again, this is another one that's going to play out over time.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator and journalist. Gary, thanks for your time. Always enlightening.
Hey, Mark. Good to be with you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.